Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 welcome. We're glad to have you here with us tonight on Blog Talk Radio. Glad to have you here with us tonight on YouTube. To all of you that will be joining us throughout the night saying, what are these guys all about? This is what we're all about. Establishing your, that is what we're all about. And we want you to join with us. This is a Saturday night, so this is a question and answer time we have rather often, usually on Saturday nights. And we want you to partake and put my email address in there, and that way you may not want to ask your question publicly. That's fine. Send it to me in my email and I will be checking that throughout the night, just in case you put it in there. And if you want to ask a question in the comment section there in YouTube, that's fine. You can do that also. And you know, very, very focused tonight that I take us in a couple very specific places. And so, you know, hang on. It's going to be an interesting ride while we do this tonight. And, you know, we've spent this whole week. Let me see if I can pull this up. We've spent this whole week watching what's going on in Israel, and hopefully you've been infuriated by it. I know I have been. It's like, are you serious? You bunch of savages. That was not what I was looking for. Just give me a second here. I gotta get my phone. But you know, I think the greatest thing that's happened to all of us is that we have come to an understanding that God is not going to ever desert his people.
Yeah.
Never again. Never again will God desert. Never. Well, God has never deserted. Hold on. Oh, come on, guys. Never again will God has never deserted his people, but never again will man overthrow God's people. Never again will it happen. So that means that even though Israel doesn't even know, not all of Israel doesn't know that their nation will never be overtaken again. Many of them don't know that. They fight in a manner that in the military that's like, you are not taking our land. And, you know, 500,000 reservists have been called up and come home from all over the world. And so the bottom line is we've been watching God. Let me get it focused. We've been watching God preserve Israel. We've been watching God. I saw that one report on Amir's page. And it said, look, there were Lebanese people. They said, there's something about these bombs that Israel are dropping. They're more powerful than anything Israel has ever dropped on us. When they hit, they explode with extreme power. Well, you're like, well, thank you for the testimony of God Almighty working.
Amen.
Because that means when that bomb lands, guess what? Boom, there it is. And God's taking it to the next degree. It's amazing to me to see how fast the city of Gaza, it was just turned into a big pile of rubble. But hey, if if you're going to attack and you're going to brutalize women and children, and reality is they don't even want to fight a war. They just want to annihilate the Jewish people. And so they're going to just continually be a thorn in their side. And in the name of Jesus, may Israel do the duty that's in front of them, and that is wipe them out.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you don't want to, what's it, the Apostle Paul say? Evil companions will get you taken out with Hamas. No, that's not what the Bible says. Evil companions corrupt good morals. You can and will go astray with people that are evil. Don't hang out with them. Because their evil will get on you unless you are doing your best to get your righteousness on them. Don't go do evil things with them. Make them come do righteous things with you. Amen? I mean, I got my Harley Davidson shirt on tonight. I rode a lot of motorcycles with a lot of people, but I didn't go get drunk in bars with them. And if you wanted to go out to eat with me, we went to a restaurant that we could go to. I'm not going to a strip bar. Ever. Not doing it. And if you start acting perverse in the just a normal restaurant where I'm at, I'm gonna get up and walk out. But I'm not that. And many people respected me very greatly for that. And then some mocked me, but who cares? It doesn't matter. So anyways, those that are messing around with the terrorists, you're gonna be toast like the terrorists. And that's sad. We pray every day. I mean, seriously, pray this every day. In the mighty name of Jesus, may the man in the white robe show up to every one of these people. And that man in the white robe is Jesus. And he has manifested himself as the man in the white robe over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it's so important that that happens. Because when the Muslim sees a man in a white robe, I don't know what the Quran says, but when a man in a white robe shows up, you better listen. And it was so cool, that one missionary, he wins a lot of the Muslims to Jesus, and he stands outside a mosque, and as they're walking in, he'll say, "Have you seen the man in the white robe?" And if they say no, he lets them keep walking. And if they say yes, he's like, "Stand over here, let's talk about it." And he said after he gets a group of about 25 or 30 of them, they've all seen the man in the white robe, he said, "I get that whole group born again just like that." But that way, you have all that other mess in them. Anyways, that's where we're going. Now, I want to show one video tonight from the war. Oh, my goodness sakes alive.
Right now.
It's you know, it's like right now you're going to see this video, okay? So give me just a second here because it doesn't seem to be working right on that. So let's do it over here like this. Because this is a really cool video. Get this shared.
Isn't it so fun to have Pastor back in the studio tonight?
Thank you, love. I'm glad to be back.
You just totally messed up my screen, but I'm so happy to have you with us.
Do not mess up my screen, or I won't be happy anymore. This. All right. Now watch this. Celebration after rescuing a Torah scroll. They found the Torah. And they rescued it from the wicked. Here we go. You ready? I love it. The guy in the center is dancing with the scroll. Just makes you want to dance. Oh, the size of that scroll. And this is in the combat zone. Now, if you don't know what the scroll is, or the Torah is, the Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament.
Which that is the Jewish Bible,
that's
right?
Like sort of stuff and things like that, yeah. But wouldn't it be something if all of us Christians were that excited about carrying our Bible around?
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do.
I do. Carry it everywhere I go. And I encourage you to carry it wherever you go and open it up and actually read from it. And it'll be a blessing to you. Now, let's get started here. That's a long enough introduction, isn't it? Isn't it all right if we just like jump right in and have about 2 hours worth of just Bible,
yeah.
Bible, and more Bible?
Yeah.
I hope you all have your turning fingers on because we're going to do some turning. And we're going to deal with a wide spectrum of things real quick. But I want us to become so confident in God and in his timeline that we have no fear. This week I had to work all the way through I was sleeping most of the time. Not sleeping most of the time. The program was going on because of the way my schedule turned out. But I really wanted to have teachers on here helping us see something we've never seen before. Well, Amir is really good at helping you see something you've never seen before, but it's because he is a Jew, and he was born in Jerusalem, and he lives on the Sea of Galilee. And my favorite part about his life is that he lives 2 miles from where Jesus walked on the road to Emmaus with his disciples. That's one of my most favorite stories in the whole Bible, is that one. And he lives right there. He said he lives about 2 miles from where Jesus walked the road to Emmaus with the disciples. And, of course, he's a major. He served in the Israeli, in the IDF. He was a major. That's quite a position. And then he was also the mayor of Jericho, the hands of Yasser Arafat. He was the last mayor of Jericho. That's a pretty prestigious position to be in.
Yeah.
And yet he's a born-again, spirit-filled man of God. And so every time he speaks to us, he's speaking from a whole different point of view.
Yeah.
And then last night with Dr. Summerall talking about Jerusalem, I love Dr. Summerall because, number one, he was my pastor's pastor, so I got like grandparentism in the man, you know. But I love him because he wasn't afraid of anything or anybody. He didn't care. And, he would tell world leaders, you better do right or you can just go to hell right now, like literally. And there was probably many people that did just because he said that. But that's the spirit of might with a man that walks with God. Like, just like Elisha saying, yeah, he sent them 50, but if I'm a man of God, they'll burn up. They were toast right on the road. Well, you know, when that happens, it kind of brings justice to places where there wasn't very much justice, and people's lives really get changed.
Yeah.
But Dr. Summerall teaching about Jerusalem is very interesting because, to God, I don't even know how to talk to people from Jerusalem. They're a different group of people. So he moved him and his family, his wife and 4 sons, and lived in Jerusalem for who knows how long, a couple of years. And did it for the purpose of learning how to figure out how to deal with the people from Israel. I like that kind of a man. That's a man that's going to know. And yet God, everybody said of him, I never met him, everybody said of him, there was not a more loving man of all the different ethnic groups in the world. There was not a more loving man in the whole world. He loved them all. And he hated terrorism. He hated anybody that was going to brutalize women and children. He probably didn't hate them, but he sure hated what they did. And he was quick to say, well, if you're going to do that, you'll probably go right straight to hell. And many, many stories in his ministry how people were straightened out immediately because the spirit of Mike came out of it and he challenged. So that's why I had Amir this week and then Dr. Summerall. We'll finish up with those with the last five videos about Jerusalem at some point this week. And if you didn't get the chance to hear them, if the audio was a little weird on them, audio was weird, was a little off on a couple of them, then find the series and watch it at home on your TV where you can turn the volume up and hear it because it was really cool to hear about Jerusalem. And, you know, I made the post on my Facebook page that for 3,000 years, Israel is the only nation that still has the same language, still worships the same God, and is still in the same property, and still has the same holy city 3,000 years later. It's the only group of people on the face of the whole earth that can say that. And guess what? That's what makes them God's chosen people. Now, let's say something about that. I got a lot to cover tonight, so I'm not giving you chapter and verse, chapter and verse, chapter and verse. However, we know them, and we can point them out to you. excuse me, if you would like that. Now, Jesus is going to come back and sit on the throne of David and reign for 1,000 years. I don't know what people are going to do with the fact that Jesus is coming back to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. I just got thinking. I can probably get you those verses real quick here. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is coming back to rule on this earth for 1,000 years in the millennium. Now, why are you saying it like that, Pastor? Because there's a whole bunch of people that are down on the Jews and say that God has turned his back on the Jews. And
Rebecca.
God hasn't turned his back on the Jews.
Amen. No, he has not.
You wouldn't think that we would have to say this like this. However, there's a very specific reason I'm saying it like this. Because Jesus, who is a Jew, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is a Jew, is coming back to reign on this earth and sit on David's throne in the city of Jerusalem, and he's going to rule over his people.
Hallelujah.
And maybe I should just say it one more time. Why are you saying it like that, Pastor? Because anybody who tells you God's done with the Jews, then you have to look at them and say, well, he must be done with the Italians too. And he's really done with the Mexicans and the Chileans and the Venezuelans and all the people of the drug cartels. He's really done with them. So he's going to wipe out that race. And, of course, Hitler was a German, so he's done with all the Germans. So if you're German, I'm sorry, you know, that it's too bad. You're done. He hates you. God hates you. And, of course, the Russians are bad because Putin is, so there goes all the Russians. And do you see the utter lunacy of somebody saying God hates the Jews? No, he does not hate them. Did he divorce them? Yeah. Did he marry them back? Yeah. Did they do wrong? Most certainly they did wrong. Most certainly they did wrong. Now, if you want these verses, let me just give them to you real quick, and you can write them down. Want to do that? Jesus returns as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, millions of his saints, and to fight the battle of Armageddon. And Satan's bound and cast into the bottom of the pit for 1,000 years. Revelation 20:1-3. Zechariah 14:9-12. Revelation 20:1-3. Somebody, if you can, type them right into the YouTube notes. Revelation 20:1-3. Zechariah 14:19. Zechariah 14:9-12. And then the 1,000-year reign, you can see in Genesis 15:18, Ezekiel 36:11, 37:15-26, and Acts 3:20-21. Did you get all those?
No. I'm still trying to get open office open.
All right. Now, why are we not going to read them, Pastor? Well, we got a lot more to get done tonight than that. Now, let me encourage you in this. Antichrist, mark of the beast, doesn't even happen until 3.5 years into the tribulation. At the 3.5-year point of the tribulation, midway, there's another rapture. That's why some people believe in mid-tribulation rapture. Right? Because it's there. And it's going to be at 3.5 years. Who are those that are going up in that rapture? The 144, the converts of the 144,000. Now.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Richard. Bless you. Love you, brother. Hang on just a second. You find that in Revelation chapter 15, informational chapter. Now, Juliana, how are you doing?
Hi, Juliana.
It's good to have you with us tonight,
Shalom,
Juliana.
To you too.
Shalom. I don't even know how to say all those words, but yes, amen. Shalom to you. Now, so when you and I get this revelation that the rapture is going to happen and we're going to take off out of here, okay, all of us that are born again Christians are going to leave before the great tribulation begins. Now, you and I are going to see tribulation. I mean, we're seeing it right now. We're seeing serious tribulation on this earth. You may not be experiencing it yourself. But if you're very spiritual at all, you are continually feeling this month produce more and more and more and more evil on the earth. I can tell you right now, I am very aware of the increase of evil the farther we get to this month. This is one of the most evil months there is in the whole. Wait, this is one of the months that evil uses to put out more evil, right? It's God's month. But it's still evil. They're using it for evil.
In the rapture and tribulation.
The rapture is when you and I are caught up. Rapture. You can find that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5. It says, the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him forever in the clouds. Let me say it differently. The trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. Now, the Methodists have been sounding a trumpet in their church every Sunday morning to get the dead raised just so people would be able to have, that was a joke, that's a bad joke.
I didn't get it.
People just in church asleep, dead.
Oh,
and so, So the rapture is the catching away of the church. The tribulation is when God pours out all of his wrath that you read in the book of Revelation. All right. And then the enemy's, you know, the Satan's trying to take the Antichrist is trying to take over the whole world. And he never conquers the whole world. He only conquers a little bit of it. And then all of a sudden he's trying to overtake Israel and Jerusalem. And then here comes the 200 million man army from the east. And he's like, oh, my, I thought I had trouble already. And who's this that's got 200 million men? I better make friends with him. And so those two are going to be in the Battle of Armageddon against God. And at the end, the last day of the tribulation, that's when the blood will flow to the depth of the bridle of a horse all through that whole valley, 180 miles long. But there's going to be over 200 million people in there. Who knows? There might be, who knows? It's a lot of people. So that's a lot of blood. And God's going to pour out his wrath on them. Now, let's go here. Go with me to Ezekiel. I will do this. And I can tell that it's time for us to go through the book of Revelation again. And so I'm not quite sure when I'm going to do it, but we'll let you know. And we probably have enough time between now and Thanksgiving to get it done, don't we? Because it's tough to do after Thanksgiving, Christmas. But it would be good to go through the book of Revelation again.
We did after New Year's last year.
Yeah, we did. But
after everything settled down.
We kind of want to go through it right now so we can reap a big harvest of people, because there's a whole lot of people going, what is going on? So anyways, go with me to Ezekiel. And this is going to be my first place I turn to tonight. Ezekiel 37. Actually, it's 36, and it's 36 through 39. All right, Ezekiel 36 through 39. In Ezekiel 36, verse 21 through...
Okay, wait. Are we in Ezekiel 37?
36, sorry.
Okay.
It's 36 through 39 is the chapters.
Oh.
My spirit man is going wide open right now, and I keep working real diligently to slow it down and say, slow down. Okay. Now, in Ezekiel 36, verse 20, look what it says. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they've gone out of his land. 21. But I had concern for my holy name. God was concerned about his holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. Say this, God delivered Israel.
God delivered Israel.
For his name's sake.
For his name's sake.
Remember what Moses said? God said, stand back, Moses. I'm killing them all. Moses like, I don't think you should do that, God. I mean, Moses is pretty close to God. And he's like, then all the people of the world will say he brought his people out to kill them in the wilderness. You can't have that. He said, I'll make a great nation of you, Moses. He's like, I'm not interested in that at all. See, he did it for his name's sake.
Yes.
You and I are redeemed because of his name's sake. Watch this. Some of you are like, well, you know, God chose me because I'm so amazing. You still ain't chosen if you still think you're amazing, and that's why God chose you. All right. 23, I hope you can take that in a joking manner. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. So he's saying to the children of Israel, I'm going to deliver you. And when I do, it's going to bring glory to my name. And they're going to believe in me because of what they see in you. Guys, the only reason you and I have forgiveness of sin is God said, Israel, you just keep leaving me. I'm going to call the Gentiles too. And we were grafted into the vine. You find that in Romans 9, 10, and 11. And I don't have time to preach all that, but I got about, we got about three or four messages on that. Romans 9, 10, 11, it'd be good for you to go in there. And if you go to read the word, Romans 9, 10, 11, and read the word, that was a really good read the word program. And it'll be a blessing to you. God did this for his name's sake. Let's keep reading. 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take out the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and you will do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. See, this is where people get it all messed up because they want to deliver themselves from all their uncleanness, and there is no delivering power in you for your uncleanness.
Yeah.
There's no righteousness producing force in you in your flesh. You can make a good decision. You can be real determined. If you have a strong will, you can make a choice by your will, but that doesn't solve the sin problem. The sin problem is when you receive the free gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace from Jesus. You find that in Romans 5:17. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that any man that's in Christ is a new creation, just like he said right here. I will give you a new heart. You want to do it? Hold your hands out like this and say, I receive my new heart.
I receive my new heart.
Now just put it, hold it to you. If a pastor, I gave up smoking and I gave up drinking and I gave up dancing and I decided to wear my hair long and wear dry, that's all human. That's all self. Righteousness. Is it good to give up drinking and smoking? Yeah, you'll live longer. That's not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a believer is you receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness that Jesus. I mean, here's the Old Testament prophet who is prophesying right around 600 years before Jesus comes. And the prophet's saying that God's going to give us a new heart. I love it. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh. I love it. Say it. No more stony hearts in my flesh. Now, see, wait a minute. Did he do it, or is he just saying it? It's like the one man said, Dr. Barclay, they came and said, you're supposed to preach to us about the Holy Spirit. He said, I preached for about 45 minutes teaching about the Holy Spirit. And he said, this man walked up and just stood in front of me. And he's like, said, I didn't know what he was doing. So I just let him stand there for a little while. You know, who knows? The Holy Spirit does all kinds of things in the service. He said, finally, I said, can I help you, sir? He said, well, yeah, are you preaching about this or can we actually experience it? No, you get to experience it. Say it. The stony heart is gone.
The stony heart is gone.
And I have a new heart.
And I have a new heart.
A heart of flesh. And a new spirit.
And a new spirit.
Yeah. Now, I want you to hold a place there. Get you one of your placeholders in Ezekiel chapter 36. And let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians 6. If you're listening to us on YouTube, and you would help us with the verses, that would be beneficial. Now, if you're somebody that's been limited of what you can post in there, because you're so radical saying amen and hallelujah, you know, you can still put it in, whether or not people can see it, don't matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now look at this. I love this chapter. This is the chapter that tells women to wear long hair and men to wear long sleeves. Not really. Preach it right.
Okay, we really want to promote that.
Go down here. Verse 14. Thank you, Rebecca. You do good. We love you, sister. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? That's what, here comes the Halloween part of tonight. I'm still in the end times, but I'm into Halloween in the end times here. What fellowship has darkness with light? Zero. Halloween is dark. You don't have to be a Bible college educated person to realize how dark Halloween is. You know, I was in a gas station last night. And, you know, they have a board and they'll put flyers and stuff on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Three churches have a Jesus-a-ween party. They literally put the word Halloween all through their party. Three churches joining together in this community to have a church Halloween party. Using the word and everything. Look what it says. What fellowship has darkness with light? Now listen, I'm not down on churches wanting to have a celebration and a party.
A harvest party.
I'm not down on that at all. My mom and dad, I grew up as a kid, were pastors. And we always had what we called a harvest celebration. And, I mean, that was back when we had real games, you know, like bobbing for apples.
Yeah.
Remember that one? Everybody spit in the same water. That's why we were so healthy back then. But we had a lot of fun. And we played games, and we had a lot of fun. Nobody was out on the street where all the ghosts and the goblins were. And there were no ghosts and goblins inside the building where we were. And we had candy, and we ate food, and ate pizza. I don't remember what we ate, but
donuts and apple cider.
And donuts and apple cider. It was a great time. So there's nothing wrong with that. But don't mix the darkness of this world with your Christianity. It doesn't work. Darkness will always win. Pastor, why would you say darkness would always win over Jesus? Because Jesus has to respect your will. And if you want to mix darkness with him, then he lets you have your darkness. Remember the verse? No man will serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other. I didn't make the rule, but I'm sure glad he did. But that's a good rule. That helps you and I understand. There's no mixture here. Look at what it says. I'm in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Now watch what this says. And what communion has light with darkness? There's zero communion with light and darkness. And in this room, when light turns on, there is no darkness. The two cannot occupy the same space. The only reason there is darkness is in absence of light. Otherwise, if the sun is shining in the middle of the noonday sun, there's no darkness. Why? Because darkness and light can't exist together. And so here's my next statement. Raising kids. End times, Halloween, and raising kids. Pastor, how in the world do you raise kids in this day? The same way everybody's raised them all the way through history. You train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart. We heard somebody the other day say, if you train up a child the way they go, and if you scared them good enough, they won't. How did she say that? You scare them and they won't go away or something. Yeah. How did she say that?
Raise a child up in the way they should go, and when they're older, they'll be too scared to depart from.
There you go. There you go. Turn the lights off, please. Yeah. Naturally, you know, you can't get all the lights off in here because we've got computer screens going. You see, the only reason there's darkness is there's an absence of light. As soon as you turn a light on, you get, the darkness has to flee. And there's no more darkness. That's why to have darkness inside of you as a believer, we got to get you discipled, because when Jesus comes in, he's the light of the world. There is no more darkness in you. Remember what we just read? He's going to give you a new heart, and he's going to put a new spirit in you. How awesome is that?
Awesome. I heard that verse in my head about 2 hours ago. That's awesome, Rebecca.
And then see, now he comes and brings the Spirit. He brings Holy Spirit and God the Father and Jesus, and they all come to live on the inside of you. Now your being is filled with light. Well, Pastor, where in the world is all this darkness coming from? The fiery darts of the enemy. Why? Because you got light. And the enemy doesn't want you to keep the light. I saw a statement today online. I don't usually scroll a lot on Facebook, but this week I've been doing a lot more because there's a lot of good memes coming out. I like them, and I made a bunch. But I saw this statement today. Satan ain't nobody. He don't even have the keys to his own pit.
Yeah.
Jesus went to hell on purpose, on assignment, by God, carried all of sin and sickness to hell, left it there where it belongs, and then came back with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Excuse me. So the enemy doesn't even have keys to his own bottomless pit. You and I have those keys. We have the keys.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said to the disciples, whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loosed. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. He said, whatever you agree, two of you agree, touching anything, it'll be done. So all of a sudden, you and I got to realize, wait a minute, in the end times, we got to live every day and say, wait, what's going on in this day? But we're not going to live defeated in the end times. We're not going to barely squeak it into heaven with our backsides on fire. No, we're going to live in breakout. Right? Now, I know I've already got you holding your finger in one spot, but hold your finger right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's go back here to Isaiah chapter 60. I come to this chapter so much that when I turn back, it just automatically went there. Isaiah chapter 60. Now, thank you for that verse, Rebecca. Raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Pastor, I don't know how you do that with children. Well, you sit them down and you say, this is how we're going to do it in our house, and it ain't going to be any other way. Yeah, but Mom, what about my friends? Well, then your friends can come over here and play Scrabble with me and you. And then get involved in your kid's life and your kid's friend's life. Zig Ziglar was the man that taught me, which is kind of crazy. But Zig Ziglar, I saw Zig Ziglar in 1985 in Charlotte, North Carolina at an Amway convention. I mean, amazing. And he said, when my kids became of age, I would just as soon that my son or daughter had 15 of their friends in my house and I cooked them all supper, than to have my son at one of their houses and have no idea what was going on in that house. And all of his family turned out wonderful. Because then you could, listen, then you not only influence your kids, but your kids' friends start loving you. And they want to come be at your house because you will have order and you will have peace. And you'll love them in a way that they may not be ever receiving love in their home if they're not believers. You'll keep your kids from premarital sex. You'll keep them from all of the wickedness that's out there. Why? Because the kids know I can bring my friends over to the house anytime Mom says so. And then you, Mom and Dad, make sure you let them bring them in. Why? Because you can influence them there in your house and you can care for them.
Amen.
It's good wisdom right out of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And see, now you're not only training up your child, you're training up somebody else's. And so what you sow into somebody else's life, you reap that back into your life. I'm preaching better than you're staring right now because it's really good preaching. Now, Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Well, we just read in Ezekiel 36 and 2 Corinthians 6 that God's going to put a new heart in us. So when he puts new in you, guess what? You're going to light up. He's taken out the stony heart, and he's given you a heart of flesh. You have now become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. See, guys, if you won't teach your children religiosity, to act like you and not actually have any relationship with God. Your children should understand communion at an early age because you taught them that once you're born again, you're finding your place in the body of Christ. Every child should know from their parents that the moment they were conceived and in your womb, Mama, there was a book written in heaven with their name on it, and the greatest thing they'll ever do is talk to God and find out what's in that book. Can you imagine that my big semi-truck I got, that we park it out here, and Sister Leanne and I fill it up with dirt, and we put flowers out the windows, and here we have a 500-horse engine that can pull a load and make a ton of money, and we're going to fill it with dirt and make a flower garden out of it. Yeah. Or we'll use it to pick up people in from wrecks that were all messed up, and we'll throw them up in the sleeper. See, that's not designed for that. Could you do that with them? Yeah, there's a bed up there and a mattress. I don't know how you get them through the door. You'd dump them off the cart before you'd ever get in. Why don't you just call an ambulance? That's what it's designed for. And see, the sooner you and I can help our kids realize, wait a minute, you got a special design that God made you. It's not difficult for you to find because God came to live on the inside of you. Yeah, but Pastor, I've tried to help my kids get their lives right to God, and I preach at them, preach at them, preach at them, and they still don't do it. Well, stop preaching. Just live it in front of them. Tell them about the love of God. Tell them about how much he loves them. Tell them about the fact that he's got a plan and that he will talk to them in their sleep every single day of their life if they'll open up and say, I receive you. Talk to me. Tell me what you want me to be in this world. Now, I just gave you a whole bunch of verses. So, you ready? I just gave you Psalm 139, verses 14 through 18. And I just gave you Job 33, verses 13 through 17. Evening, Sunday. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hi, Sunday.
Pastor, you make it sound like it's no big deal to raise kids. Well, it's not. It's not. It's just daily. It's just 18 hours a daily.
Yeah.
It's just no matter what, raise them.
14 to 18, Rebecca.
14 to 18 hours a day.
No. Psalm 139.
Psalm 139 and Job 33. Now, see, here's the reality. Many of you are trying to tell your children right now about Halloween, and they're not getting it. Ask God. No way. I'm trying to get out here. Teach them to ask God to speak to them in a dream and show them the whole picture of life. Job 33 says God gives dreams. When did Joseph have his dream? When he was a youth. How many dreams did David have? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. How old was Samuel the first time God talked to him? He was about 8. Daniel and the 3 Hebrew children were between 12 and 14 when God showed Daniel what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed and then the interpretation of it. He was between 12 and 14 years old. Don't say my kids are too young and they can't understand. When God gives you a dream, it's technicolor. Solomon was 25 years old when he became king, and he went to God and said, I don't know what to do, and fell asleep. In his dream, God said to Solomon, tell me something you want. Tell me 3 things you want. Tell me 1 thing you want. What did he tell him? We probably got to read the story, right? Do you know how many pages I already have open?
All I remember is that he asked for wisdom to lead the people.
God said, what would you like? And he said, I need wisdom. I'm a child. I mean, he's 25 and he's David's son, but he said, I'm a child. I don't know how to lead your great people. There are too many even a number. I don't know how to lead them. And in the dream, God said to Solomon, since you didn't ask for money, and you didn't ask for the neck of your enemy, in other words, to overpower your enemy, but you ask for wisdom to lead my people. Not only am I going to give you wisdom, I am also going to give you riches and honor. You know where that is? Is it 1 Chronicles 6? 2 Chronicles 6.
Hi, Kathy. Love you.
Hi, Kathy. We love you. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and 1 Kings chapter 3. There. 2 Chronicles 1, 1 Kings 3. Now, why are you saying this? Solomon answered God in a dream. God was so impressed with Solomon's answer in the dream that not only did he get what he asked for, but God gave him peace, and he was the richest king that ever lived in that in that day. He literally, when you add it up in today's numbers, he literally spent $1 billion building the temple that Solomon built. $1 billion in today's money. And he's a kid compared to, you know. So let no one despise your youth. I think you'll find that in 2 Timothy. Let no one despise your youth. Let no one despise your youth. It's coming. It's in here somewhere. Anyway, let no one despise your youth. And seriously,
First
Timothy 4:12. Teach your children to not let anybody despise them in any way. You ready for this? This is tough for some of you. And don't you despise your children, because they're getting a better life than you had. Can't imagine how many parents I've met that despise their own children because the children were living a better life than what the mom and dad was, and the mom and dad got angry. Don't get angry with your children. Pastor, you make it sound very simple. It is simple. God said to Moses, write it on the doorpost, write it on the mantle, write it on the gates, write it on the walls, write it on your forehead, write it on your hands. Why? Because he wanted you and me to teach our families this day and night. Why? Because it will teach our children who he made them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So where do I pick up now, love? Which one should I go back to? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. What have we left out? End times, Halloween, raising kids, and question and answer. Let me check real quick while we're getting back over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Doesn't look like anybody sent me any emails. I probably should check the spam folder in case you're somebody I don't know. Well, look at there. Zaka of Tel Aviv has emailed me in the spam folder. 2 Corinthians 6. Oh, I want to finish right here. Watch this. Well, not finish. I can be done because it would not be right to be done at 20 minutes after 8. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 6 and let's read this. I'm in verse 15. 2 Corinthians 6:15. This is dealing with end times. This is dealing with Halloween. And this is dealing with raising your children. All in one message. I love it. 16. What agreement has the temple of God with an idol? It doesn't. And when the Philistines tried to put the ark in front of their idol, the idol's name, Dagon. They went in the next day and Dagon had fallen on his face before the ark. They're like, no, Dagon, no falling before the ark. You are our God. Do not bow down. Here's the servant of the God is telling the God what it should and shouldn't do. And God's in heaven laughing, saying, wait, you think that was good? Wait till you get back in here tomorrow, because tomorrow his head will be off and his hands will be off. And that's when the Philistines said, we got to get that out of here. He just destroyed our God. Pastor, what do I do if I've messed up and I haven't trained my kids this way and they're all grown? You pray for God to give him a dream and a vision and a revelation every single night, and then you pray for God to restore the years. Because he loves to restore the years.
Give them a heart to know him.
It's the only one I know of. It's one of the best 24/7 verses there is in the whole Bible. Pray this 24/7. That God would give them a heart to know him. See, there's people like, Pastor, I don't want them to go to God because then they're not coming to me. See, you're selfish.
And that's dangerous.
The greatest thing you want is for your children at an early age to hear God's voice. Why? Because then they're going to follow your voice so much more simple, because when they start hearing his voice, they will obey him. And then they'll honor you. And you can't teach him he's a mean God in the sky with a club. He's their father, just like he's your father. Ready? I'm in verse 15, 16. I'm in verse 16.
2 Corinthians 6:16.
And then 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? None. For you're the temple of the living God. Say it. I am the temple.
I am the temple.
I am the temple of the living God. Teach your children they are the temple. Well, Pastor, that's going to stop them from doing a lot of things as a kid. Well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't want your kids to be wounded by all that stuff anyways. Amen? I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's what God wants your children to know about him. You know what? That's what your children's friends want to know in their own life. Is that there is that God is listening when I pray.
And children that know God like that never suffer the rejection that so many kids suffer when they start being pressured by peers.
Well, because they're looking for the acceptance and the love from a peer that you would get from God Almighty. And if you'll learn to get it from God Almighty, you'll love your peers, but you won't hold in high esteem their care for you. You'll love them, but it won't matter what they say because you're already listening to God. I mean, I was in the sixth grade when my mom and dad said, would you like to go to the Christian school in Kentucky rather than the school in West France? And I was just getting beat up and all the time because my dad was a preacher and, thank God for a couple big guys that were a couple years ahead of me that took me underneath their wing. And because I was just a real little guy. I was a small frame. But at sixth grade, my mom and dad gave me that. And I started praying, saying, God, what do? I want to do the right thing. I was making one of the greatest decisions of my life, and that was to go away to school. And that was a very tough decision because we lived 9 months away from home in a dormitory with a bunch of, young guys my age. We kind of had the herd mentality. But I remember I was in seventh grade. I started saying to people, I'm not coming back. What are you doing? I'm going to Christian school in Kentucky. And it was the beginning of me learning to stand up and do something different. Well, now the same guys that were asking me then, when they see me today, they're like, man, you didn't even age. How'd you live all these years and didn't age? Look at me. And they're all messed up because sin beat the stuffings out of them. And I didn't live a life of sin. I lived a life chasing after God. you and I can help our kids to stand strong and to lead many others to Him. You don't have to send your kids away to a Christian school. You have to do that. You can teach them to be lights right there. Now, you might pull your kids out of the public school today and make them homeschool kids or something, which is what I did. But my kids were homeschooled. But you follow God's leadership on that. Because there's some kids that God wants right there in the middle of it, and they're going to lead many people, you know, into God. And there's other kids that God's like, no, get, I don't want them in there. I want them out. I want them doing something different. And only God can tell you that, and only God can tell you that singularly about your own kids. I know one family that one of the kids was in high school all the days of his life and was led many people to Jesus, and his brother was in homeschool the whole time. Why? Just because. That's just the way they're. That's the way they were as humans. Now, what an interesting night. Halloween, end times, and raising kids all in one message. It's okay because it's God. It's good. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. Come on. No, no. 2 Corinthians 17. Jeez. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 17. Thank you guys for being here and being a part of this. We love it. I love to see all you guys' conversation. That's so cool. Chrissy picked up Jade and the baby from the airport.
Oh, that's great.
What a joy little Leo was. Lots of kisses. Amen, sister. Now, verse 17, 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. He wants you to. Do not touch what is unclean. Do we have to have somebody tell us not to steal?
We shouldn't need someone to tell us.
Do we have to have somebody tell us not to lie?
Well, you know, babies have a way of saying mine, even though it's not theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. So the point of what I'm saying is, naturally in our lives, you don't have to have a decision and have a high education to look at somebody over here doing a strip dance to say that's wrong. You have to be taught to say that that's right, because it's wrong. You don't have to be taught that a man belongs in a woman's bathroom. That's natural. You don't belong in here. Get out of here. That's not about, you don't even have to know God to know that. That's just intelligence. So look at what God said. This is God speaking in verse 17 from the Old Testament. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. God told us he would receive us if we would come out from among them and be separate. And touch not what was unclean. And I love verse 18. It's one of the most important verses of the whole New Testament. I know I say that. If you copied all of the most important verses in the New Testament, you'd probably have about 250 of them, but, you know, that's all right. I will be a father to you. I will be a father to you. Don't you love that? God said, I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. See, the sooner you and I can teach our children, God wants to come and live within you. Now, don't just say, give Jesus your heart. Many people have said that. I'll take some more coffee about it. Many people have said to their children, give Jesus your heart. Well, this isn't about you giving Jesus your heart. This is about you inviting Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit to come and live within you and guide you from the inside out. See, now all of a sudden we're teaching them, you have an inner instructor. He's in here. Your instructor lives within you. There's no other religion on the face of the earth that the God comes to live within the person. There's no other religion. Every other religion, they have to bow down in front of a God of wood and stone that sits in front of them. In Christianity, God, the only God there is, comes and he lives on the inside of you. There's a lot of people who said, well, you know, Pastor, I don't get the things of God. I don't understand the ways of God. I'm not about all this. You know, I don't know all that like you do. You are just amazing with all that. Well, no, I'm just the same guy that you are. And I picked this book up and I let a spiritual leader lead me in the paths of righteousness. And I wrote down the verses he gave me. And then I began to speak the same verses he used to build his life. And I'm using them to build my life, and you're going to use them to build your life. And then all of a sudden, you begin to get this big, huge, amazing, wonderful, awesome picture of who God Almighty is in your life. See, as soon as we settle this whole understanding of pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and all the tribs, no. Jesus is coming. No man knows the day or the hour. Be ready. That's the end of it. Now, go win the world. Psalm 23. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to lead you in there. Remember? Remember what we read? He's going to give you a new heart. Take the heart of stone out and give you the heart of flesh. He's going to give you a new spirit. And then he's going to adopt you into the family and make you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And then God is going to come and make his abode on the inside. See, now all of a sudden, the end times, they're not scary. I mean, what's happened in Israel is scary. Until you realize Israel is never going to lose another battle. And so then every day you and I just pray the prayer, thy will be done on earth in Israel right now as it is in heaven. Vindicate your people to these wicked barbarians. Not everybody that lives in Gaza is a wicked barbarian. They're not all demon possessed. There's probably a whole group of believers that live over there. Well, I would imagine if you listen to Brother Copeland's Believers Convention, I know they say the West Bank and Gaza. So I know there's believers in there. And so what you and I have to realize is the sooner we can teach our children that God wants to live within and God wants to make a difference within, Now all of a sudden, God's leading me from the inside out, Mom? Yeah. Talk to him every night when you go to sleep. When you wake up in the middle of the night, don't scream, Mommy, Mommy. Lay there in your bed and say, God, my Father, what's happening? God's going to talk to you. God talked to me when I was a kid. God gave me the vision of my life when I was 14 years old, sitting on a bunk in the boys' dorm at Mount Carmel High School, Jackson, Kentucky, Breathitt County. Talked with my friend Jeff about riding motorcycles in Canada. And God showed up in the room. It was like lightning went through there. Why? Because I'm some amazing person in God? No, I just want God. And he rewards those who diligently seek him, especially when they're 5 years old. Why? Because he's got you now before the world ever has any ability to destroy you. Somebody, I can tell somebody right now is like, well, Pastor, how in the world is God going to speak to my kids? Well, he made them. You know, I mean, certainly you and your, you and the mom and the dad had sex and with it, you know, a child was born, but God's the creator of man, and he can create a man out of dust and a woman out of the bone, and then make men want to eat ribs for all the rest of their life so they can find their, that rib bone and get it back. God can help your children want to know him. Look at this verse, Acts chapter 2. Find the right verse here. I don't even know what it is. Yeah, I do. Acts chapter 2. That's messed up, Roger. That's messed up. Acts 2:17. It shall come in the last days, says God. I will pour out my spirit. Look at what it says. On all flesh. God has poured his spirit out on your family and your children. But if you treat them like little demons and you say they're little demons and little monsters, then don't freak out when they act like a demon and a monster, or they become demon possessed. You prophesied it. Anybody home? Well, Pastor, you know me. I was just kidding when I said it. Well, there's a problem. The enemy doesn't know you're kidding. And when you call your kids a demon, guess what he says? Oh, you're giving me permission?
Yeah, oh my.
Call them children of God. Call them children of God at an early age. Well, Pastor, they're just so crazy. I got to say, they're just crazy. Which do you want, crazy or do you want godly? Because the power of life and death is in your tongue. And I know there's a whole bunch of people like, oh, it's no big deal. You and I just heard, what, was it 3 weeks ago? John Ramirez said, all I needed was a word out of your mouth to say what you were going to be. And as soon as you said that word, I was going to bring that word to pass in your life. You ever said it? I'm so depressed. Guess what happens when you say I'm so depressed?
Yep, you get that.
You get more and more and more and more depression. I mean, I had one. But please, don't anybody say, I've said this about my own children, okay? Nobody admit to making this statement if you did, but I'm going to say it because it needs to be out of our vocabulary if we're saying it. I've heard parents say to their kids, you don't straighten up, I'll kill you and make another one that looks just like you. Do you realize what you just said? You said, I will kill you. Some people didn't say that. Some people said, well, I'll take you out. Well, that's exactly what you're saying. And as soon as you, the parent, the authority, the leader, speak that over your kids, that goes into effect in your kids. People say all the time, well, little Johnny, he's just acting like a wild heathen. He's just wild as wild can be. And then wonder why little Johnny runs around being wild. It was one kid one time, one little boy one time. I walked up and he growled at me. I'm like, are you kidding me, you foul devil? So I just looked at him. And the mom or the grandma said, oh, he's just a little demon. I'm like,
wow.
Why would you say that about your child? You just gave the enemy permission to enter into your child and make him that way. You know, that kid became more and more, literally would growl more than he talked. Wow. You have a mean child? You bind that devil. You can beat him with a stick all you want. But if you don't bind the devil, beating him with a stick isn't going to work. Pastor, I beat my kids with a stick, and I probably did too much. Yeah, you did. So we got to get you to get that prayer going. Restore the years that the locusts have eaten. I've gone from end times in Halloween to a parenting conference here all of a sudden. Let's keep reading. Verse 17. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters. It doesn't say what age. Shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. On my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Who's left out of men servants and maid servants on the earth? Nobody.
Yeah.
But see, what we end up doing is, because somebody taught us to make a cute little funny statement, we make that cute little funny statement that ain't cute, and it ain't little, and it ain't funny, because it has great effect at cursing their life. I've stood with parents and heard them say, oh yeah, my firstborn, he's just a highly, highly intelligent. And this guy here, he ain't nothing but just muscles. He'll play football and then just be a brute the rest of his life. Well, you're the parent. You just spoke that over them. Say this, Father, help me get it right.
Father, help me get it right.
Wait. Some of you, it's so bad in your family that they are acting like little demons, and you might have to end up casting a demon out of one of your kids or grandkids. But you go to God every day. Listen to this statement. Somebody write it down. Dr. Barclay made this statement, and when I first went there, I heard him make it one time, and I wrote it down immediately. Dr. Barclay said, Father, if you give me their heart, I will help them serve you all the days of their life. If you give me their heart, if you will give me the heart of my children so they trust me, I will help them serve you all the days of their life. Powerful prayer right there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Go with me to Joel chapter 2. And we're going to read another end time verse to help us. See, do you notice that all of a sudden the focus isn't, oh no, the Antichrist is coming, the end of the world is here. It is like, wait, we're living on this earth. Let's make a good and win everybody we can to Jesus until the day the trumpet blows and we're out of here. Let's not get rapture escape focused. Let's get win the world focused. And when Jesus comes, we're going to be ready, because we're going to be winning the world. And you won't ever have to worry. You will be ready. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen, but how many's watching on YouTube? 7. Welcome to every one of you. Glad to have you with us. Make sure you click like. And hit subscribe so you can be a part of everything we do. I don't beg for money. And I ask you to help me sometimes. Well, I probably ask you to help me every time we come here. But if God tells you to sow in our ministry, we'll then do it. But otherwise, I'm not coming to you begging unless God gives me a project for us to do. Because we ain't going broke.
Amen.
Are we going broke, Mom?
No.
Nope. We're not going broke now, and we ain't never going broke.
Mm-hmm.
right now, when a preacher gets up in front of the congregation and said, if you don't do something, we're going to have to close the doors. Wait, you just prophesied and gave the enemy right to get into your business, in your ministry, and mess it up. Because you just said, if you people don't do something, we're not going to be able to keep the doors open. You took it out of God's hand and put it in the hands of the people.
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now, I don't understand everything about the kingdom, but that's not a good idea at all. Because God wants the glory, and he wants all of the glory, not the people.
Thank you, Rebecca, for putting that statement in there, too.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for all your help tonight. Brother Roger, thanks for adding in there. And anybody that makes a comment in there, thank you. We truly love you and appreciate you. Well, now we're in Joel chapter 2, verses 25 through 32. Joel 2, 25 through 32. Now, I'm giving us way more verses than we even have time to read in one night. But if you will meditate in these verses about your children, then all of a sudden you'll begin to speak wonderful words over them, and you'll begin to see wonderful life happen in them. Now, if they're grown and they're out of the home and they've been out for 20 years and they're still not back to God, you might have a ways to go, but just pray every night. God, give them a dream, a vision, a revelation of who they are in you. And he will remind them of the God that they knew when they were young. Verse 25, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Lift your hands with me and say, restore the years, Father.
Restore the years.
Restore Father. All the years of my life. I had some pretty tough years in my life where hell happened. But guess what? It doesn't matter. I was talking to God about it last night. I'm like, man, you know, Father, this, that. I'm not going to tell you what I said, but it was personal. Quit trying to pry in my private life. No. You know what he said? He said, did I forget all that stuff? I'm like, yeah, you probably did, didn't you? He goes, then why are you bringing it up? I'm like, because I'm a human. And I just want you to know I really wish I could have done more. He said, quit worrying about what you could have done more. Just get busy asking me to restore the years, not just for you. Ready for this? But for everybody you should have influenced in your life. Say this, restore my years.
Restore my years.
And all the years of everyone.
And all the years of everyone.
That was supposed to be influenced by me.
That was supposed to be influenced by me.
You just went from selfish, oh no, poor me, to now you went to intercessor. And now that gives Jesus the right, because somebody's standing in the gap making up the hedge, to go to that person that you were supposed to influence. And because of the opposition of the enemy trying to steal your life from you, now God says, oh, you want me to restore you all of that? Well, yeah, matter of fact, restore to me 400 years of back wages like you did the children of Israel.
Amen.
See, now all of a sudden, what do? We went back 400 years. That affects a lot of lines of the family tree. Well, Pastor, what can God do for people that's already in heaven? Nothing. They're either in heaven or hell, but he can sure make a difference in the lives of the people that's in that lineage. This is our verse, restore the years. Verse 26, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. I like that. Not just eat, but have enough that you're satisfied. Don't you love it when you get satisfied? Mm-hmm. Sit down, you eat a big porterhouse steak, 22-ounce porterhouse with a big salad, mashed potatoes or sweet potato with butter and cinnamon sugar on it. Woo! Glory! And a big hot bun. Big cup iced tea, bottomless cup of iced tea with it. Woo! Glory be to God. And a piece of apple pie with ice cream on it when you get all done. Wait, look at what it says. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. This is a promise from God. And because you're satisfied, you will praise the name of the Lord God, who has dealt with restoring the years and making you eat and be and eat in abundance and be satisfied. I know some of you are like, Pastor, I haven't been doing a good job. Fold your hands. You ready? Everybody fold your hands. Let's get very sanctimonious. Fold your hands. Close your eyes. Bow your head and say, thank you, Jesus, for my food.
Thank you, Jesus, for my food.
Bless it to my body.
Bless it to my body.
And help me never be ungrateful another day.
Help me never be ungrateful another day. Should I go get something to eat?
We're going to have communion in a little bit. That's your food. Or just drink your coffee. God said, I'll bless your food and your water. Well, see, so hell happened. Maybe your mom and dad divorced when you were young. Maybe one of them died. Maybe both of them died. Maybe you, man, did you hear Amir saying what his life was like as a kid? He was given up and lived in foster care.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Had a pretty rough life. Well, look at Golda Meir and what we learned the other night about her.
Right.
She had a rough life and became the prime minister of Egypt. No. Israel. See, God wants to restore the years, but he can't restore the years when you're... When you look at him and say, I'm so dumb, I'm so stupid, I'm so useless, it just is all done. And no, it doesn't, nothing ever works for me. I'm just done. It doesn't ever work. And God's standing right there saying, would you just let me bless you? But I can't bless, I'm so dumb, I'm so stupid, it doesn't ever work. God can't bless that. You want God to bless, I'm so dumb? Pastor, what I want him to bless is me to no longer be dumb and be blessed. Well, then you got to say I'm blessed, not I'm so dumb. Yeah. Keep reading. I'm in 26. And my people shall never be put to shame. Have you had shame in your life? That verse says, my people shall never be put to shame. Well, Pastor, what do I do to the people who once shamed me? Just don't worry about them. Forgive them and move on, man. Were they obviously messed up in their life? Yeah. Or they wouldn't have tried to shame you. Pray for them because they got a lot to overcome, but they were trying to shame somebody. I remember the day one of the guys that beat me up a bunch when I was a kid, and I really didn't dislike him, and I really couldn't figure out why. You know, I didn't do anything to anybody. I was a preacher's kid, though. He was a big guy, and I was a little guy, and I remember one time on the bus, I fell down in the aisle or whatever. He just stuck his big old foot right on me and just forced me to lay right there in the aisle. The floor was all wet from snow. And I went in the house and I was all wet and my clothes were all disheveled. My mom, man, there was some splaining done in that house that night over the phone. And then when my dad got home, there was some serious splaining done. But anyways, I actually got to meet the man later on. And to the best of his ability, he apologized. He really did. And he looked at me and said, you know what? I really like you. Ready for this? He was listening to me on the radio. And I was preaching and helping him. And then walked in his business one day and he's like, you. See, God wants to restore the years. But if you're holding a grudge and you're holding it against them, you can't do it. Because faith works by love. And if you're not in love, then faith can't work. Now it's get even. Well, get even doesn't work. Get even. How are you going to get even? Let God restore the years. That's the best even there ever was when God restores them. Because not only does God make what was wrong right, but God brings you a big check for it too. He said, you're going to, with persecution, you're going to get a hundredfold return. Pastor, why is everything a check to you? Because everything's a check to God. Page one, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion, replenish. Everything in God is about take what you got and make it grow. Matter of fact, if you take what you got and hide it, you're in trouble. He called that person worthless and lazy and threw them into outer darkness because they didn't take what they have and grow it. Two parables that he said, throw them into outer darkness because they hid what they hid the talent that I gave them. Some of you are like, I better get busy right now. Yeah, you better get busy because that's a serious. Both of those parables of the talents and of the minus, both of them are talking about the time at the end. And the people who went and did something and grew their gift, he said, enter into the joy of the Lord. But the person who took the gift and hid it because they, I don't know, I don't even know about God. I don't know how mean he is. I don't know what he's going to do. And I'll get it. And when he comes, I'll hand it back to him. He don't want it. He don't want you to hand it back to him. He wants you to bring it back with an abundance of people, an abundance of things, not belongings, abundance of things that you've accomplished for the kingdom. Some of them will be belongings. The other day I was driving the truck and I was out in Montana. You know, the program was going and Sister Lamb was doing the morning show and everything. And I got to the sand mine and I have signal at the sand mine and at the well and nothing in between. It's like I've got a little spot of glory here and there and they're just duh, there's nothing there, you know. So, but I for some reason I get done with my last load and I'm like, I got to buy a pizza. And I just was stuck and I called the pizza place and I ordered pizza and stopped by and picked it up and put in the truck with me. And I'm like, I'm going home. Why did I need to buy a pizza? I don't want their food. I want Leanne's food. She's a good cook. But I was like, I was just stuck. I was fixed on it. So I'm like, well, okay, whatever. And it was good. Don't get me wrong. It was pizza, sauce, and cheese, and ham, and pineapple.
Ew.
It was awesome. It was wonderful.
Just ruined it.
It was amazing. It was amazing. So. It's cold up here now. I buy it and I put it down on the floor of the truck and put the lid down and put something on it so it's tight. And I take a piece and eat it and I take another piece and eat it. I'm like, okay, that's enough. Two pieces is more than enough for just sitting here using the gear shift in hand, you know. Watch this. I show up to get fuel and the Holy Spirit says, take that pizza in and give them a piece of pizza. And I'm like, I'm going to take the pizza in the store where they have food and sell pizza. And I'm going to give a piece of pizza away. Really? They're like, yep. So I go in and I put my piece of pizza in the microwave and nuke it because I want my hot, you know. And I walk up to the counter and I'm like, hey, you want a piece of pizza? And the lady's like, yeah, let's see what you got. I opened that box. She's like, wow, that looks really good. Simple piece of pizza. Same lady 2 months ago said, I said, how you doing? She goes, oh, a day late and a dollar short. And as soon as she said it, I'm like, I'm never going to be a dollar short again. I reached in my pocket, pulled out a $20 bill, and I handed it to her. And she's like, what's this for? I said, well, you said you was a dollar short, and I don't want you to ever be a dollar short again. And I just sewed into it, so I'm never going to be a dollar short. Thank you. And I walked away. She's just standing there looking at that dollar bill, a 20, like, what's going on? What happened? She said, I was a day late and dollar short. I'm like, well, here's 20. Now you won't be a dollar short. And I'm not going to be a dollar short because I just sold into you saying I will never be a dollar short. This is how you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. Why? I could take that $20 bill and stick it in a savings account, but did you see the news the other day? How that one Bank of America or something drilled into all these people's security boxes in their bank and stole their stuff? Did you see that?
I didn't. Oh, my goodness. Really?
Like $25,000 worth of stuff. And when they sent it back to them, their valuable jewelry was broken. Their family heirlooms were broken.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So give somebody a 20. It's a better investment than putting it in the bank.
Yeah.
So ready? I showed up there last night, and one of the truck drivers, probably works with me, drove into this big round cement thing that is designed to protect the fuel pump. And he drove into it and scooted it out in the middle of the lane, and it's in the way. And it's been like that for like 2 weeks. And I said to the same lady, I'm like, hey, can I put a chain on that and move it? She's like, I guess. You know how to do that? I'm like, yeah. I got a chain, you know. And I mean, I got a semi, for goodness sakes. A little piece of cement ain't nothing. I just spun around, hooked onto it, and moved it. I'm like, that was easy. Then I pulled out and around, and I went and got the lady. I'm like, come on here and stand here and help me get this done. And then she told me right where to put it, you know, and then to stop. You know what she said? You sure are a very helpful person, aren't you?
Thank you.
Well, I didn't do it. Really? You know why I did it? It's in my way.
In your way, yeah.
It was kind of selfish. Why I moved it. It's in my way, all right? And I don't want to be the guy everybody in my shift talks about that hit that thing again. I don't want to be that guy, and it's in the way. But wait, see what happened? Because I'm light, and I'm going to put light. All I did was something simple. And she said, I didn't ask her to say nothing. You're a very helpful person. And I am. That place is just extremely busy. And you walk in the bathroom, there'll just be paper towels all over the floor, and it's like, wow. But what's going on? There's 87 people trying to get fixed up there, helped up there, and they don't have enough time to go clean the bathroom. They don't have enough help. So I just grab a fresh paper towel and walk around, pick it all up, put it in when I leave. The bathroom's nice. It doesn't cost you anything to do that.
And you change the atmosphere.
And you change the atmosphere that way. Everywhere you go, you and I should be adjusting the atmosphere.
Amen.
Wait. When I go out of this door, I say I'm blessed when I go out. When I come in, right on the door, it says, I'm blessed when I come in. When I come in, I don't throw away my goodness out there and then come in and treat me in like a piece of trash. I'm good to her here. See, we got to get rid of all this old religiosity that says, I'm going to go to church and act holy and right, but when I come home, I'll treat everybody like that because you're my family and you should put up with it anyways. No. Truly a man or woman of God, you're going to be that every day of the week, 24/7, 365, and it won't be a challenge to you. If you find that it's being a challenge for you to be that, then you probably are not born again. You just became religious. And if you let God, if you get born again and he makes you into a new creation, then all of this will come from a heart of love and service. And it won't be a challenge for you to do it all. He'll speak to you all the time to help people. All the time. I'm at the point now where when I go to certain fuel stops, it'll say on the little pad, you know, when you put your numbers in, it'll say, would you like cash back? So I'd get a $5 bill back. And I'd keep about 7, 8, 10 of them in my wallet, $5 bills. Why? Well, I don't know who I'm going to meet or what I got to help. But if I got a $5 bill, I can always stick it in somebody's hand and say, let me help you. You know that that's moved from being a $5 bill now to being a $20 bill? Why? Because I kept doing it. The other night, showed up where I get my coffee and my Dr. Pepper before I leave. And this poor guy, he's at the counter and he's working and he lost his cash. He's got all of his pockets emptied on the counter and he's going through it all and he's frustrated and I'm behind him and he's getting more frustrated. And I'm like, hey, dude, hey, wait, just relax, man. And the guy at the cash register, I'm like, dude, just put it on mine. And the guy behind the cash register has seen me do that so many times in there. He just smiles. They're like, all right, no problem, man. And this guy's like, oh, you don't have to. And the guy behind the counter is like, no, he does this all the time. Don't worry about it. Wait.
Just let him bless you.
I'm not bragging. This isn't bragging. When you and I do something for somebody that doesn't have any ability to do it in return, God is the one who repays, and that's better interest than the bank can ever give you.
Amen.
It's better interest than the bank can ever give you. And what are you becoming? You're becoming a good person on the inside. And if you don't stop being the good person on the inside, God will fill your pockets with money to bless other people. And he'll fill your understanding with the understanding of, I got to go do this for that guy right there. I still got pizza left. I get to one of the sand mines and the Holy Spirit says, take that pizza in there. That guy wants a piece. I'm like, all right. I'm carrying my pizza box. It's like a piece of my pizza right here. It's like it's multiplying in there. It's like, is this pizza ever going to run out? I have to keep carrying this box of pizza with me. And it did run out. I made sure of it. I ate the last two pieces. No, what's the point behind this? Isaiah 60, arise and shine. Wait, you can teach your kids this. Teach your kids to do good. It'll come out of your pocket, but it don't matter. Man, you're just trying to get us to be sowers, and you're just in that seed time harvest stuff. Yeah, you're right, I am. You old gnarly old cuss, we don't want to do nothing to bless nobody. You stinge bucket. Sounds like my pastor now. You old stinge bucket. Hallelujah. How are you going to teach your kids to chase after God if they don't see you doing good to others, because that's the very nature of God? Brother Richard and I were talking last night on the phone. Yeah, it's a good conversation, brother. Thanks for talking to me. Appreciate it. We were talking about God and blessing. I want you to think about these several stories, because I'm going to fix this old, you got to be broke, busted, and disgusted to be a Christian. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a foul, deceiving spirit from the pits of hell that's teaching you to be broke, busted, and disgusted and think that it's holy. When Zacchaeus got born again and Jesus went home with him, Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus to give away everything he had. When Peter was standing by the boat on the side of the Sea of Galilee and Jesus said, can I borrow your boat? He didn't tell Peter to sell all he had and come follow him. Anybody home? The woman at the well, he didn't tell her to go sell all she had and follow him. The demoniac on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I have no idea. I think she said, please go answer the door now. Wait, I want you to see this. Only one person is there in the New Testament that Jesus said, sell all you have and give it to the poor. Only one. But the spirit of religion, which is a demonic spirit, no Christian should be following that spirit. The spirit of religion says, you got to be broke, busted, and disgusted. Your stuff's got to be falling apart in order to have God's blessing in your life. Liar, 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 liar. Jesus said, if you give up your life to help me preach the gospel, just like you guys are doing right here tonight with me, you will reap now in this lifetime 100-fold of what you give up. Now in this lifetime. Peter said to Jesus, now, we left all the value, and Jesus said, yeah, you're right, you did. And I'm going to give more of what will curse you if you don't use it right. 100 times more. You see, when you look at God, everything about God is reward. Everything about God is blessing. Everything about God is the abundance. He didn't give you just barely enough of the blood of Jesus. He gave you all the blood of Jesus. He didn't give you just enough to get a sniffle gone. He gave enough to get healed from any sickness or disease. You didn't get a little bit of grace. You got the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. Second, or Ephesians 3:20 says, not a little devil, do you? He said, exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 and 8 doesn't say just a little dabble, do you? Second Corinthians says that you might have all grace abound, that you will always have all sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work. All, every. There comes a point where you got to break the curse of poverty and poverty mentality, because it's going to curse you. It is a curse.
Yeah.
You have to break it. It's a curse. Everything falls apart. That's a curse. Everything for the Christian is supposed to come together. That's the blessing. God said in Deuteronomy 28, all these blessings will come on you. Have you noticed that I only talked a little bit about end times events? Why? Because it doesn't matter what's going to go on. If you're ready and you're out here in this world and you're winning people to Jesus and you're changing lives and you're blessing who you can bless, that's what Jesus wants you to do. He said, occupy until I come. And if you're going to occupy, you got to have a house and you got to have a car and you got to have a job and you got to have a place and you got to have a deal and you got to be. And you can't have that if you know, if you're sitting on the side of the road living in a tent.
Amen.
I know some people, Pastor, and they lived in a tent, and they were all right.
They couldn't.
Why are you defending that foul demon? Why are you defending the foul demon? Don't do that. All is all the time, even preaching. Amen. Amen, Danny. That's awesome, brother. Yeah. The word all in the Greek has a really deep understanding to it. It just means all. It means entirety. It means the completion, completeness of it. It's all. If we don't have this escapist mentality, oh my God, I can't survive. Hurry up and come back and get me. And if we are determined to love and serve everyone around us everywhere, including our husband or our wife, then everywhere we go, we're going to change the atmosphere of the place where we're at. And you don't have to give people $20 bills and pizza unless that's what God tells you to do. Hey, don't you do that, lady. I think it's one of the most amazing things that I've noticed in my life. I started with $5 bills and I'm up to 20s now. And an abundance of them. That's very interesting, isn't it? But I wasn't ashamed of giving somebody a five. Why? Because that's what God said to do. I did it. Why? Because I know that everything in this life is based on the seed that you sow. Every blessing in this life is based on the seed that's sown. You ready? If you sow love, what do you get? Love. If you sow peace, what do you get?
More.
Jesus said when you sow it, it's going to come back to you. How? Good measure.
Press down.
Shaken together. Press down. Shaken together. And running over. Now, I would dump something in this cup till it run over, but it'd go all over me, and then Sister Leanne wouldn't be happy, and I guarantee you I wouldn't be happy with it on my Bible. But see, that's what God wants to do for every one of our lives. And if we'll get rid of this garbage mentality of I got to barely squeak by, I got to barely make it. It's just the best thing in life for me is I just barely make it. God just comes through and saves me in the nick of time. No, 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 and no. You don't want that for your salvation. You don't want the rapture to happen and Jesus says, everybody's gone and you're still on the earth. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll let you. Yeah, come on. And then he yanks you up and you were down there going, oh, my God, I missed it. See, that's what barely in a nick of time mentality ends up getting you involved in. I'm going to just barely do enough parenting to save my children. No. Parent them all the way till you're old and sitting in the chair. Tell them, I'm going to live to be 120. And I'm going to be instructing you all the way to 120. And you're going to hear me. Do you hear me? I love this message. This is one of the most interesting messages we've ever had here. But it's all right. It's good. What's a good verse to close on? Oh. Verse 26, I'm in Joel 2:26. Look at this verse. It's the last part of the verse. Let's see, A, B, C, D. All right, the last part of the verse. And my people shall never be put to shame. Joel 2:26. And my people shall never be put to shame. That's a very interesting statement, Pastor, because there's already stuff happening to me, and I've been ashamed, and I don't want to be ashamed. Joel 2:27, then you shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other, and my people shall never be put to shame. Very interesting, isn't it? My people will never be put to shame. David said, let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. I say that over Hezbollah and over Hamas, yeah. 35:26, let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who rejoice at my hurt, let them be clothed with shame and dishonor. See, God wants to use shame on the enemy, not on his children.
Yeah, amen.
My people shall never be put to shame. And then when you get into Isaiah, hold on just a second. Let me grab the reference here. Isaiah, verse chapter 61. Verse 7, it says, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Isaiah 61:7. Instead of confusion, you will rejoice in your portion. Therefore, in your land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be yours. That was Isaiah 61:7. Isaiah 61:7. Wait, I gotta read this one. I forgot about this one. Isaiah 54:4. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither will you be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth. Hallelujah. and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Do you remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well? You're so worthless and vile and disgusting, I don't want anything to do with you. No, he told her, go get those five men that were all your husbands and bring them out here to see me. Can you imagine Jesus telling you, go get your five exes? But it was so life-changing, she did it. And they said, wow, now that we're here and hear him, we see why you were so excited. Yeah. How in the world do you close this? I just tried to close right there, but I didn't close. I got more fired up. Oh, a Revelation verse. That's where we were going. A Revelation verse.
All right.
Revelation 12. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. And this is for everybody here. Please don't hang up till you get this. I speak over, now I see Kathy Anger, Emily was asking us to pray for her life and her family. Father, bless this family with the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Bless them. Bless them abundantly. Bring great peace and joy into this family in Jesus' mighty name. And into every family that's listening and everybody that's going to be listening in the future, even into the tribulation when they miss the rapture. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Who's doing the accusing? The devil, not you. And they overcame the accusations by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Cover yourself in the blood of Jesus every day, all day long.
Yes.
You can say that louder.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes and amen. When the fiery darts come, remember the fiery darts are coming because you got revelation. Why did Paul have a thorn in his flesh? People persecuting him everywhere he go. That was his thorn. Why? Because of the abundance of the revelation that God gave him. And so he had this great revelation from heaven, and the enemy's like, he can't have that revelation. He's going to destroy our kingdom, and he did. So what did he do? Fiery darts. He stirs up the multitude against him, stirred up the demonized woman that was literally calling in principalities against him, and Paul finally caught on. Wait, he ain't talking about me being a man of God. She's stirring up the principalities against me. Cast the demon out of her. Then they got the whole crowd against them and beat him up. But they come out shining like gold on that one. See, we overcome how? By the blood of a lamb, but it's got to come off the end of your tongue. You got to say it out loud. Every time the temptation of what the enemy lied to you and said you was in days gone by, you just say, that is not who I am. It wasn't who I was then, and it is not who I am now. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I cover myself in the blood of the Lamb right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. That is how you overcome. Those fiery darts are going to come and tell you that that's who you are. And you just have to say, I'm a new creation. That is not me. Don't you want a beer like you used to have every night when you come home? I'm a new creation. I don't want that stuff anymore. You don't want to just go party down at the bar with everybody? I'm a new creation. I don't want to do that anymore. Don't you want to tail bear and backbite and gossip about somebody? I'm a new creation. I don't do that anymore. By the blood of a lamb, by the abundance of grace, the free gift of righteousness, and the very blood that Jesus shed for me, I overcome you squash. And if you let the blood of Jesus come off the end of your tongue on everything in your life, and there'll be days you'll feel like that's all you say all day long is the blood of Jesus. I had that last night was the night for me. Blood of Jesus all night long. All night long. It don't matter. Whatever. Pastor, what were you doing last night? I was just living my life being a man of God. But you think you're not going to, you think you're going to live free of the enemy attacking you from now till Jesus comes? That ain't going to happen. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but he didn't say we don't wrestle. And they've already lost. We
Amen.
Win. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory.
Amen.
We've already won. You and I just take the blood of Jesus and we just keep the victory won everywhere we go. All right, I got to be done. Amen. That's it. Is that a good close?
Yes, very good.
I know why you hear preachers do that, because they don't know how to close. So they just say, well, amen. Everybody stand. How do I go? Let's go now. Why? Because if we don't say it, we're going to keep going. I guarantee you. It's Brother Copeland. One time he was at a believers convention. He preached for like 3.5 hours. And some of the preachers were talking to him about it afterwards. And he's like, I could see that one verse I wanted to get to. But he said, I just couldn't seem to get there. They said, no, you didn't. And it was 3.5 hours of sitting there. But thank you. It was good preaching. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, all these people who are with us tonight, Jesus, bless them. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Raise your hand and say, Jesus, bless them. Bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless them with victory. Bless them with winning. Bless their children to walk with you. Bless them to see their place in God. Give them dreams, visions, and revelations of Almighty God in the middle of the night while they're sleeping. I pray it right now in Jesus' name. May we be the most blood-bought, blood-covered group of people anybody has ever met. And may we see the victory. I want, Father, I want everybody within the sound of my voice to see the victory that is in the blood. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your blood willingly. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave of yourself willingly. You gave us the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, and we receive it from you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Some of you are like, Pastor, I just need you to talk to me about what's going on in my life. I just need somebody to just please talk to me. I just talked to you for 2 hours. Get this tape out, this video out, and play it again. Now, I know you may not think that this is true, but I was such a spiritual mess, not knowing God, when I first found Dr. Barclay. There's some of those tapes that he made. It was cassette tapes back then. That was 30 years ago. Cassette tapes. And there were several of them, like Making of a Man of God. I know I listened to that cassette tape probably 150 times.
Wow.
Why? Because he's teaching the making of a man of God. And it was just an amazing message. Matter of fact, you can probably still get it, and I would encourage you to go to his website and buy it. Seriously. Because it don't matter whether you're a man or a woman. It'll do you good to listen to it.
It's probably not on cassette anymore, though.
It's probably not on cassette. But if you ask them, they might be able to find a cassette around there. Another one was called The Captain's Mantle. It's a whole new revelation to me. And I listened to it and listened to it and listened to it and listened to it and listened to it. The other ones, if you the prophet's reward system, I'd listen to that and listen to it, because Jesus said, if you receive a prophet, listen to this, in the name of the prophet, not in the name of Jesus, if you receive that prophet in the name of the prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. Interesting, isn't it? If you receive a righteous man or woman in the name of that righteous man, you receive that righteous man's reward. I had to listen to that over and over and over and over I wore cassettes out listening to them. But you know what? That message is so ground, so deep inside of me now. It is a part of the very core of who I am. And some of these messages, like this one tonight, just keep playing it. And when you play it, say, Jesus, help me. Play it again, say, now I get it this time, Lord. And when you play it the next time, say, I thank you, Father, that right now the revelation of this just fills every part of my life. And then turn it back on and say, I thank you that I get the revelation of this right here, right now. It's like, I got, I don't know, I probably got 150 little 3-4-5 minute segments of teachings that I grab my phone, turn my audio on, and record that man or woman of God when they're preaching. And I listen to it over and over. Dr. Winston, everything comes from a seed. What did Mary have? She had a seed. Christ child came from a seed, seed, time, and harvest. So what do you need to bring something into being? You need a seed. And what's the seed? The word of God. To get this word planted in your heart and then speak till it produces a harvest. Mary had to feed that baby to get Jesus born. She had to do it every day. So you get a seed of the word, and then you speak that word until it comes to pass. And it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and then produces that tree. Am I preaching again? Were you wanting me to preach again? I really wasn't preaching. I was just sharing, right?
You're doing good. 4 more hours.
Four more hours. All right. Well, there we go. Let's receive communion. Let's be done. In fact, I haven't been asleep since last night this time.
You've got about 24 hours almost.
So it's all right. Don't matter. I knew tonight was going to be a good night and
Amen.
And I knew God was going to speak a good word to us. You know what's awesome? Is I turn these on. I turn these on and listen to myself preach. Still having trouble getting up. I turn these on and listen to myself preach. Why? Because it ain't me. It's the Holy Spirit. First Corinthians chapter 11. Here we go. Oh, I got this on the thing, don't I? Do you have it on the thing?
I don't have the Bible verses.
Everybody just pause for a minute because I've got this right here. I just haven't sat here enough times lately. Share the screen. Well, I could just tell you how wonderful an Apple computer is. Love, I'm going to have you read this for a minute. And can you see it?
Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go with the communion verses out of the Bible. Can everybody hear me okay from this side of the desk? Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread
and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death or his redemptive work until he comes. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged.
Love has been perfected amongst us in this. I love these two verses. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. The Holy Spirit's telling us we get to have boldness when we're being judged. I love that. Because you get to look at the person judging and say, oh yeah, what do you know? Why? Because as he, capital he, is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. No fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear involves, includes torment. He who fears is not perfect. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear go now.
Amen. Fear go.
Because I have been made perfect in God's love. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what religious denominational background you've come from, maybe you're just a complete heathen and you say, man, I really like this. Pray this prayer with us and it'll change your life. Here we go. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life
as a believer
every day.
Surround
me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And you just got welcomed into the family of God. All of that amazing awesomeness that you're experiencing on the inside of you right now, it's not a feeling, although you feel it. It didn't make much sense, but it's true. Because it's not like emotions, and it's not like, you know, your skin. It's God filling the place where sin was. You said, I receive all of you. And Jesus like, well, all right then. And darkness just left you and light came. Fear just left you and faith came because Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith and he now lives in you. You are now adopted as an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. All of this in one prayer, Pastor? Yeah, isn't it awesome? All your sins thrown in the sea of his forgetfulness. never to be remembered. Remember what we studied tonight? He took the heart of stone out and put a heart of flesh in and gave you a new spirit. That was prophesied 600 years before it happened. And then it happened. And then you said, fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power. He wants you to live in power. He wants you to understand the word of God. But remember, the teacher now lives inside of you. He's not way out there somewhere trying to get it down through your thick skull. He lives in power. Glory be to God. And if you don't have anybody else, we're the godly people. And we'll lead you in the paths of righteousness. And for his name's sake. Send me an email. Tell me your story. Ask me a question. Send us some prayer requests. We'll help you walk with God. Everything I do is going to be out of the Bible because I'm a Bible man. And the word God, the Bible, Jesus, help me. The Old Testament, it says, he put his word even above all his name. It's huge. And then he put it inside of you. Get your Bible. I recommend you get one of these Thompson Chain Reference Bibles right there. Snap a picture of it. Because it's a good Bible study to it. Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's receive our communion on this. Get you some grape juice and bread, some bread and water. Get you a cup and a cracker, and let's receive our communion elements together. Ready? There we are. Oh, well, there's all the instructions. Forgot they were in there. I'll go slow so that they can actually get put on the video. And if you want to see them and you want those verses, you can back it up. There's my email address. There's the website. Like, subscribe, hit the bell. That was good thinking, Rob. I'm very glad you did that.
Thank you, Rebecca and Dan, by the way.
Thank you, Rebecca and Dan, by the way. Danny's by the way. Right. Here we go. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread, representing your broken body, and this juice, representing your blood, poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of all you
did for me.
And just read the words that's on the page. Now, every one of these statements we make is from a verse of scripture about the body of Christ. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotion, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supply in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. All things passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus,
I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy,
grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church,
without
spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish, when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let's sing that. The second is coming. Maybe not. All right, we won't sing that one. Let's sing. I can sing my dad's song. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power, the precious blood of the Lamb. The Bible says that when they received the Last Supper, the last Passover, that they went out, they sang a hymn, and then they went out, and Jesus suffered. So that's why we sing a hymn. To just do what Jesus did. Pretty cool. All right, well, let's have Sister Phyllis read us some closing verses. Sister Phyllis, you still there?
Yes, I sure am.
All right. Let's do the Ephesians 3 verses.
All right. I was right there a minute ago.
Amen. Those of you that are listening, make sure you click the like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified so you're with us every time we get on here. And we'll be a blessing to you in one way or another. If you're someone that likes to pray, we have a prayer program every morning, Monday through Friday, at 9 Central, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, where we pray for the nation, we pray for each other, we pray for our families, and now we're praying for Israel. So you're welcome to join with us. Go ahead, Phyllis.
Okay, Ephesians 3:14-21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
That is a beautiful benediction.
Isn't it amazing? And I recommend it to be something you speak every day, that seed of the word.
Every day.
Every day. Brother Hagin said, when he started praying the Ephesians prayers, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, and Colossians 3, I think it is, 2, whatever it is, he would pray them as often as he could throughout a day, and sometimes 5, 10, 15 times. He said everything in his life began to change at that point. And I don't know what that will be in your life, but I know it'll be great. Now, Amir is updating his telegram every couple minutes here, so keep yourself in tune with them. Remember, tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern, we're going to be live for 1 hour of faith and communion. And we've been talking about God's very nature is abundant blessing. And so come and be with us. Thank you for all of your prayers. Thank you. Seriously. Thank you. We love and appreciate every one of you. And my email address is always there. Anything God's speaking to you and you need work it out, I say it in Jesus' name. Help it. You know, let us know what's happening. We'll pray with you. And then I speak Job 33 over you, that you will have dreams and visions and understanding. The last day's language of the Holy Spirit is not just praying in tongues and prophesying, but it's in dreams and visions while we sleep. All right, I'm just going to keep talking. And I need to get some sleep. So I better, until we see you again. Yeah, that was a good message too. That was a really good message, man. Till we see you again. This is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you soon. Sister Phyllis, Brother Dan, love you guys. Sister Gwen.